Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it.
John F. Kennedy was the 35th president of the United States, the youngest ever elected. He was a son of Massachusetts, born in Brookline 100 years ago this coming Monday. But perhaps what most set him apart when he was elected was that he was Irish. And even more unthinkable, he was Catholic. His family was built on its faith. His campaign for president was almost crushed by it. The story of how John Kennedy became the most powerful leader in the world is, in part, the story of mid-century America in the midst of transition.
Catholics are starting to make it in large numbers in the 40s and 50s, right after the Second World War. The GI Bill is sending a lot of them to higher education for the first time.
Professor James O'Toole teaches the history of American Catholicism at Boston College.
So, though there had been plenty of instances in the past of discrimination against Catholics, by the 1940s and 50s, when President Kennedy's political career is just getting going, Catholics are starting to make it more and more and have more of an impact.
And the Catholic Church was undergoing a watershed change with Vatican II, which modernized the Mass and church practices. Enter into this picture young John F. Kennedy. The Kennedys lived on Beale Street in Brookline, just a few blocks from the local parish, St. Aidan's. John Kennedy was baptized there and served as an altar boy. His mother, Rose, attended Mass there every day, sometimes more than once a day. Eventually, the family befriended Boston's Richard Cardinal Cushing.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Rose led the Kennedy kids in prayer before every meal and quizzed them on the gospel readings. While she nourished the family with faith, the patriarch, her husband, Joseph Kennedy, fueled the son's political ambition. John Kennedy absorbed it all. His faith seemed to shape his values. He was sent to Catholic school in Connecticut for a year when he was 13. That's where he scored fair in religion and complained the school had too much of it. It's said that a visiting Catholic missionary spoke to the students about his work in India. Kennedy told his parents what an impression the talk made on him. That may have been a seminal event. Decades later, Kennedy formed the Peace Corps. Larry Tye studied the Kennedy family for his book about JFK's brother, Bobby Kennedy. Tye says Bobby was the devout son. John, who was nicknamed Jack, wasn't.
Jack Kennedy was as disinterested in Catholicism as his father was. During his years at Harvard, people would kid him, and afterwards, that he was not especially Irish and not especially Catholic, which is why they called him a Fifth Avenue Catholic or a Harvard Irishman. But he also saw himself as more than just Irish or Catholic. He saw himself as very much a new American, a guy who had come back from World War II, and that generation was reinventing what America was and what it was. And he wasn't going to be constrained by his parentage, by his ethnicity, or by his religion.
Professor O'Toole at Boston College has a slightly different take.
I would say that, like many Catholics in his generation, he was a kind of conventional Catholic. For him, Catholicism was about regular religious practice. He didn't feel the need to grapple with deep theological issues. I think Catholics of his generation thought, well, the church has already done that.
But the higher John Fitzgerald Kennedy ultimately rose in politics, the more being an Irish Catholic became an obstacle. It was no problem when Massachusetts voters sent him to Congress when he was 29, or to the Senate several years later. But when he ran for president in 1960, the nation's bigotry rose to the surface. Here's Larry Tye.
The nature of the bigotry was expressed in the sort of catchword of, if a Catholic were in the White House, would that mean the Pope would be calling the shots on what went on in the White House? Would the president somehow be more loyal to the Vatican than it was to the American people?
Again, Professor James O'Toole.
There were persistent fears about what would happen if a Catholic were elected president. Of course, the model that everyone knew in 1960 had been the presidential election of 1928, when Al Smith, the Catholic governor of New York, had run for president and lost disastrously in the midst of overt anti-Catholic campaigning. As soon as Smith was elected president, his opponents said he was was going to build a tunnel between Rome and Washington, so it would be easier for the Pope to get his instructions to President Smith. Preposterous, of course.
Was that literal or figurative?
No, that was literal. There were actually campaign flyers that said that that was going to happen. And that was the kind of opposition that Kennedy faced when he first ran for president.
Author Larry Tye says Kennedy knew he had to win the primary in the bellwether state of Wisconsin.
He was running against a guy from next door, the very popular Senator Hubert Humphrey, and he generally took him on the issues. But he also had a guy who was working for the campaign named Paul Corbin, who sent out mailings, anti-Catholic mailings, mainly to Catholic households in Wisconsin.
Now, we should get this straight. This person in his campaign sent out anti-Catholic pamphlets to Catholics in Wisconsin.
To Catholic households in Wisconsin, knowing that getting these anti-Catholic mailings would ensure that every Catholic in the state was going to turn out and vote for Jack Kennedy. And it was brilliant.
And it worked. Against the odds, Kennedy won the Wisconsin primary. Larry Tye says it would be hard to believe that John Kennedy didn't know about the dirty politics. Next came the decidedly un-Catholic state of West Virginia. Kennedy had a commanding lead over Humphrey the year before, but by the spring of 1960, he was trailing badly.
Article 6 of the Constitution says there shall be no religious test for office.
Voters had learned Kennedy was Catholic.
Now, you cannot tell me that the day I was born, it was said I could never run for president because I wouldn't meet my oath of office. I came to the state of West Virginia, which has fewer numbers of my co-religionists than any state in the Union. I would not have come here if I didn't feel that I was going to get complete opportunity to run for office as a fellow American in this state.
My friends, I am shocked to find in this West Virginia primary that the fact that Jack Kennedy is a Catholic has become a political issue.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt Jr. went to the state to endorse Kennedy.
Let us be objective in this campaign. We came, many of us, from Europe to get away from religious persecution. Let us not now allow religious prejudice to come into American politics to divide a nation.
The two did a radio broadcast from West Virginia, paid for by the campaign. When FDR Jr. asked Kennedy how his religion would influence him as president, Kennedy said he would defend the separation of church and state. To not do so would be a violation of the Constitution and a sin against God. 2 days later, West Virginians gave Kennedy another victory. But the anti-Kennedy, anti-Catholic wave continued. Protestant groups in Kentucky and Michigan announced their opposition to JFK. Methodist, Baptist, and Pentecostal ministers pledged to oppose the election of a Catholic to the presidency with all the powers at their command. Kennedy couldn't have been more pointed in response when he spoke to a group of ministers in Houston that fall.
I am not the Catholic candidate for president. I am the Democratic Party's candidate for president, who happens also to be a Catholic. I do not speak for my church on public matters, and the church does not speak for me.
That Houston speech settled the issue for some non-Catholics, but sparked blowback from Catholic church leaders. They said Kennedy never reconciled the role of personal faith in public life, that he just said what he had to say to win election. Kennedy won in 1960. His policies on civil rights and wiping out poverty may have grown from his Catholic roots. There was the Bay of Pigs invasion during his tenure when American-trained Cuban exiles were taken prisoner by Fidel Castro. Kennedy's friend, Boston's Richard Cardinal Cushing, raised ransom money to set them free. By that time, Kennedy's Catholicism had become not a hindrance, but a point of pride for members of the faith, maybe no more so than in Massachusetts.